The Lord is good. And his presence, yeah, and all the time the Lord is. That's good. You know what? The Lord is good all the time, no matter what we go through. So, kingdom greetings to each one of you. Yeah, I strongly encourage everyone here who make this church your kingdom family to be part in a cell group, of a cell group. You know, make it a priority to be in a home group, to do life with other believers. Do it. It's good for you. Believe me. I know what I'm talking about. We've been studying the Holy Spirit and noticed, like I said, I really don't mind if people that knows me in the past 10 years, being in full-time teaching all throughout Haiti, I talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. It's because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came pretty much for 3 years, taught his disciples about Holy Spirit. I don't think I'll ever get to a stage where in my life I'm going to be like, well, I know this. I know the Holy Spirit. There's no such a thing. I shared a proverb with my cell groups a couple weeks ago, and it goes like this. It's a Creole proverb, and I translate it in English. If you know, you already know, knowing has left you, or knowledge has left you. Is that how I said it? Knowledge has left you. So meaning, don't ever put yourself in the position to say, oh, I know this already. I know this already. Oh, I've heard this already. Oh, this sermon, oh, this Bible verse, even John 3:16, today is brand new. For God so loved the world. Okay, let's not include the whole world. Let's make it personal. For God so loved you, even before you deserved his love, he gave his son. You see, this is the good news of the kingdom. This is what the world needs out there. See, and then when you understand the measure of love God poured in your life, and when you're encountering the love of Christ on a daily basis, that love changes you. And then you get to the place where you have nothing else to give to people and the world but love. Because I've told you before, loved people love people. If your love tank is full, guess what? You're happy, right? People are going crazy because they're searching for love. They don't know what love is. You know, and this morning I want to take some time to talk to you about one of the two experiences of the New Testament a believer experience through the Holy Spirit. There are two experiences in the life. I mean, there are two experiences a believer can have through the Holy Spirit. The first experience is what they say, there are two different working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The first one is the Holy Spirit coming to live in the believer at the time of new birth. So how do people get to be born again? I don't know if you ever ask yourself this. How do we get to be born again? What happened? A couple of weeks ago, I told you something very simple but profound, and a lot of people don't understand it. It's if you're born once in this life, you get to die twice. But if you are born twice, you'll only get to die once. Meaning, if, of course, we all alive, that means we were born physically. We had a mother and a father. But then we were all born in sin. So therefore, we need a spiritual birth. So I want you to open your Bibles with me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Open your Bible or find it in your iPad or your phone. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. John chapter 3, verse 1. You find it? All right, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. After dark one evening, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus. Now, I want you to really pay attention with me here. There's a description. A Jewish leader named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to speak with Jesus. He said, "Teacher," or "Rabbi," meaning teacher, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof enough that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God." Well, Nicodemus replied, What do you mean? How can an old man go back to his mother's womb and be born again? Of course, I love Nicodemus. He's a teacher also of the law, so he took Jesus literally. Jesus, verse 5, replied, "The truth, truly, truly, I tell you, is no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Human can produce only human life. Flesh make flesh. But the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised, Nicodemus, at my statement when I tell you you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born again. It is the thing of the Spirit." "What do you mean?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, You are a respected Jewish leader, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, I am telling you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe us." Verse 12, "But if you don't even believe me when I tell you about things that happen here on earth, how can you possibly believe if I tell you what is going on in heaven? For only I, the Son of Man, have come to earth, and I will return to heaven again." And we'll stop there, because where I wanted to get to is verse 10. You see, now, there was a man. In verse 1 says, there was a man. The man's name was, what's his name? Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Jewish leader. Nicodemus wasn't a dumb Christian. I mean, a dumb religious guy. Nicodemus knew all the 600. They said when you study the book of laws, Numbers, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, they come up with about 639. Some books, some studies says between 639 and 670 some laws. All those guys, they knew those laws. I mean, there was a lot of laws to follow. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Can you believe people are still trying to understand Jesus through the old covenant? None of us can do it. It is impossible. It is, as a matter of fact, you can't do it. Nobody can do it. But Jesus came so we could have access to God. So Nicodemus saw something different in Jesus. Nicodemus said, "Man, I am a teacher. I'm dealing with a lot of Pharisees. I see how they teach, but this guy, he's got something different." So of course, but Nicodemus didn't have the guts or the boldness of the Holy Spirit to go and find Jesus during the day. So Nicodemus went at night when nobody could see him going to the teacher, because at that time, Jesus wasn't famous. You see, I want to focus, like I told you, that there are two experiences of the new believer, the two works of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The first work is the new birth. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. When you confess with your mouth, "Jesus Christ is my Lord," you believe in your heart that he came for the remission of our sin. The Bible says from John 1 to verse 12, Jesus came His people didn't receive him. But those that have accepted him, he has given them the power. He signed the paper. He said, now you're not a sinner anymore. You're not dead anymore. You have eternal life. That's it. So, my focus right now, I want us to focus on verse 8, where it talks about free will of the wind or free will of the Spirit in the way he brings life to us. You know, verse 8, Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes. And that means the Holy Spirit blows where it wishes. It does the things. Don't try to really make sense to the things of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we were studying one of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or one of the physical evidence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is speaking in other tongues. I'm coming. I'm really taking my time to figure how to come here and preach to you about some of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And one of them is speaking in tongues. Because I know a lot of people, they have their personal opinion on speaking in tongues. You know, all of us have opinions. But what does the Bible say about some of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? That's being cooked, okay? But today we're talking about what does it look like to live a life that is being born by the Spirit. You know, and there are some things I want to share with you. First thing, when you read verse 1 to 3, Nicodemus was a religious man, but he was not born again. Meaning you can be religious and not know Jesus. As a matter of fact, you can be in church for 57 years. Why such a number? It could be 37 or 27 or 17 or 7 years. It doesn't matter. You could be religious and not know Jesus. See, here in John chapter 3, we see, I love it, because the chapter started with Nicodemus was a teacher, a religious teacher, but yet he did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it so clear, for anybody to enter the kingdom of heaven, you need to be born again. I don't have time today to talk about it. And ask your cell leaders. And in our home groups, we have a great discussion. Can a Christian lose their salvation? Question mark. All right. Ask your cell leader. Or you can come visit me and we'll talk about it. Jesus said in verse 3, truly, truly, Nicodemus, I tell you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why I'm encouraging you guys to, I do that. I accept not to become a Christian. I'm already a Christian, but I receive Jesus every day in my life. I ask the Lord, you know, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Renew your spirit in me. I check my heart. I check my meter, my walking with the Lord meter. I do. This week I did again. I check my walking with the Lord's meter. Because there are a lot of things, let's say for example, one of them I wanna really put attention, emphasis on. Once we're born again, sometimes you see somebody who's walking with the Lord and they're on fire for the Lord, and then you see them starting to go away from faith. One of the first reasons, and one of the book we're reading, and I got that from the book, all credit to the book. So we're reading a book that talks about doing life with adult children. And Kendra and I were learning a lot of stuff. It's good. When you read, I tell you, you learn things. That's why I read the Bible, find a good book, read it. The first thing that happened to Christians that start drifting away or losing their faith is neglect. When you start neglecting, when you fail to care for your spiritual life, we neglect our faith when we cease to practice spiritual discipline. Back in December, I realized, man, I used to be very active in Haiti. I do construction, and the weather is hot. I'm always sweating. I'm helping people here. I'm traveling there. So it was a lot easier for me to stay slim. It was a lot easier for me. And I don't want to have a big belly. You know, because I think personally, personal conviction, that's me. I don't want a big belly. I want to look good. I want to, when I wear my shirt, I want to look straight, okay? That's my goal, okay? But then during Christmas service, my brother Dave came to me. He said, "Pastor, I see you getting a belly." You forgot about that? Oh, you remember? I said, "Man, the belly is being noticeable. That's not good. This is a time for me to do something about that belly." You know, of course, I'm not very active. I'm working mentally, but I'm not working physically. Plus, it's cold. It's Christmas. Everybody's offering you cookies and stuff. So you're catching up a couple pounds. So therefore, guess what I start doing? In January, I said, discipline. I said, well, I need a boost. I need an encounter. So I need somebody to keep me accountable. So I went and paid a guy $360 for 12 weeks to work with me to get me out of the condition I was physically. Because I realized if I don't do something about it now, in May, I'm going to have a bigger belly. And guys, the belly's going down. Right, Dave? All right? But it's not all the way down yet, but it's going down. But you know what I do? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 1, 2, 3, 40. 1, should I keep going? I should stop, right? Discipline. I wake up early. My trainer said 7 o'clock. Man, I wish he would told me 10:30. It wasn't pretty. I didn't want to do it, but I had a goal. You see, a lot of believers, they start going down in their relationship with Jesus because they start neglecting their personal walk with the Lord. They don't have time to go to home group. You have time to do everything else. You're too tired to read your Bible. You're too tired to go to a prayer meeting. Good Friday service is coming up. You should be excited. You should be excited every time. Every time you have an opportunity to be with the body, to do fellowship with the other believers, you should be excited. Why? Because guess what? You will be able to do 50, 60 push-up nonstop. You should have seen me. The first day I went to the gym, the guy told me to pick up 8 pounds. Guys, I thought I was strong. And he's like, "Give me 15. I'm like, 5. It's like, "Oh man, this shoulder is sore." It's like, "You can do it." I said, "Can I get 5 pounds? Now I'm pushing like 45. I'm feeling strong. Last week, I didn't feel like it. But guess what? I was just like, month into it, I don't want to be paying $360 to a trainer anymore after this session. So I talked to my neighbor. I said, "Hey, I'm going to the gym, man. I realize what the Bible says, doing a road by yourself, you have a better chance to be discouraged. But if I have a friend, two is better than one." And I said, "Yeah, you mentioned you like to work out. Do you want to come with me?" I said, "Tomorrow I can bring you as a guest." He's like, "Yeah, man, I do want to work out, but it's like it's always weird to do it by myself." So here I go. I took him the next day. I took him to the gym with me. He signed up. So now him and I are doing it together. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, me and my neighbor, we go into the gym, and of course, you know what? When you spend time with people, that's how you become friend. That's how you make a disciple. That's how you make a long-time friend, a good neighbor. Last Wednesday, man, I felt like I had a really bad night on Tuesday night. I didn't want to wake up Wednesday morning. I felt physically, I wasn't ready. Texted me, you ready? Yeah, I got to go. I went. My body didn't want to do it. Physically, I didn't have the strength. But because I had him to keep me accountable, because I didn't neglect the workout, I came out stronger. I came out feeling better. That's how it is spiritually. That's how it is spiritually. That's why I'm challenging you guys. The life Christ has put in you, you should not neglect your spiritual life. That's why we have a powerless church. That's why we have a bunch of people that comes to church. They're religious like Nicodemus. They are so religious. They want to follow a bunch of rules. But when it comes to workout, discipline, wake up to read your Bible. What about setting your alarm at 1 a.m. to pray for an hour? You're thinking, why would I do that? But I tell you why. What about putting your alarm 6 a.m. to go to the gym? Because 12 weeks later, the belly, the spiritual, your belly is going to look better. Your strength is going to be better. You will look better. You will feel better, even if it's cold outside. Neglect. That's what a lot of people do. You know, spiritual discipline, such as prayer, Bible reading, worship, many times neglect starts with a very small. I can't do it. I'm too tired. After work, do you think I want to drive 15 minutes to go to home group? But guess what? If you understand what home group means to you, your life depends on it. If you understand, man, I need this body. I'm the leader of my home group. I got them pray for me. Of course, I was going to teach, but I was dealing with something. So what do? They prayed for me. Seriously, I felt better. I felt like the body surround me. They pray for me. That's the life of the church. I tell you, Sunday morning, if people want to do a church Sunday morning, I come here and preach, that's not enough. The life of the church is what we share on a daily basis. And I'm here to provoke you to pursue God more. I'm here to challenge you to take care of your spiritual life. I'm here to challenge you to live a prayer life. The worship team, we don't want another program. When we say, all right, every other Thursday, we're trying to come out. You know how revival comes? When there's desperation. And you will start experiencing revival in your life when you're desperate. Get desperate for Jesus. Be desperate for Jesus. Get rid of stuff in your life. There's another one about Nicodemus. Number two, I told you number one. Nicodemus was religious, even though he knows Jesus was the rabbi. Second, when you read verse 3 and 5 and 7, Jesus says, you must be born again in order to see or to enter the kingdom of God. In order to be rescued from God's judgment and brought to eternal life. Truly, truly, you must repent from your sin. That's what Jesus said. Third, when you read verse 5, Jesus went on and said, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, when you read this verse, a lot of interpretation talks about being baptized in water. If you repent from your sin, hopefully everybody here is baptized. But if you're not baptized, you need to get baptized tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow, yesterday, as a matter of fact. If you call yourself a believer and you're not baptized in water, there's a problem. Because you get baptized in water to put as a sign, hey, I've been repented. But that's not the only interpretation about this verse when Jesus said you should be born of water. There is a verse in Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 24 where God's talking to the people. He said, I'm going to sprinkle you with water. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'll take away your stony heart. See, when you're born again, that's what God does to you. He takes the stony heart, the hard heart, the heart that wants to do bad things. You know, that, of course, that's a process, you know. When you're born again, you are, we all are three, we have three part, right? Spirit, you are a spirit who has a soul and live in a body. Now, when we're born again, your spirit automatically, when you confess that, bam, you're born again. It's a miracle. You have eternal life. But then, remember, your soul needs transformation. That's why it says in Romans chapter 11, 12, verse 1, to offer your bodies, meaning your not only your mind, your emotions, your thoughts, but also your physical body as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed by the custom of this world. So therefore, as I am growing as a Christian, I need to be making steps towards my spiritual growth. That's how you become a Christian, a strong Christian. Am I making sense this morning? You know, in verse 6, in John chapter 4, chapter 3, Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and which is born of the spirit is spirit. He means that we are merely flesh, that is merely human and spiritually dead at our first birth. I told you that already. But are made spiritually alive by our second birth. That's what Jesus meant in verse 6. Verse 7, when you read verse 7 and 10, the interpretation I have, when Jesus said, are you the teacher? Man, Nicodemus, you are a teacher and yet you don't understand those things? I told you already, you can be religious and yet you don't know Jesus. God did not call me to have a personal relationship with Jesus for you. My personal relationship with Jesus is for me. It's my friendship. You need to have yours. Because if you don't have yours, you're just religious, you might not even be saved. That's a terrible thing, to be in church and be going to hell. To be in church and your life is not under a daily transformation. Guys, stuff can be scary. You know, there's a good verse we can read in 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Open your Bibles. 1 John 5, verse 11. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Father. It says in 1 John 5, verse 11, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So whoever has God's Son has life. Whoever does not have his Son does not have life. Do you have the Son? You don't have to answer, but check in your heart. Do you know Jesus Christ? You know, even for those that are watching this now, live or later, do you know Jesus Christ? Or are you just religious? Do you know him personally? You know, God give us eternal life through his Son. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit or by the Spirit. The new spiritual life that comes in the new birth comes through the Holy Spirit. This is really clear when you read John 6, 20, 63. I'll read it for you. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh has no power. The flesh is no help at all. That's why we cannot operate, especially during church. Nobody should try to do church within the flesh, because you all only have fleshly result. You know, and the second thing, somebody that happened to somebody that drift away from faith, and you can hear it right now from the word drift. See, I said drift away, drift. When people stop drifting, be carried slowly by a current of air or water. You don't want that to happen to you. Drift is what happens when we allow event and circumstances of life take us away from God. Busyness. I tell you, it's good to be busy. But you know one of the strongholds in this country? And we all know, I mean, you guys, you've been through life. You know a lot of things I'm telling you here. You already know it. Maybe. But it's sad to see a generation out there who's been buried in debt, having a bunch of things they can afford, and yet they have no time to breathe. So therefore, I tell you, one of the worst things that can happen to you, and one of the best weapon of the enemy to bring any preacher or Christian down is exhaustion. If I am always tired, I have nothing to give because I'm not physically fit, mentally fit. Even for your family, if you're always exhausted because you've got 5 jobs, you know, and you're eating on the run, you're driving, eating, driving with your knee, you're eating, you're farting in your car. The ladies, you didn't know I knew that word, right? Because everybody is on the run. So there's no time to sit and quiet myself before the Lord. Satan loves it. That is his strategy. So everybody is so busy. And then, of course, the business of life take us away. We're drifting away from the Word. We're drifting away from holiness. Huh? We're drifting away from the body of Christ. We're drifting away from fellowship. I tell you, that's why I hate COVID-19. And I pray every day against that spirit. Because the spirit of COVID-19, you know what it does? It drifts us from each other. Don't give up into the spirit of fear of COVID-19. Of course, we're going to take care of ourselves. You're going to protect yourself. But do life with your family. Do life with your friends. Satan wants you to live in the spirit of fear. He does. We need each other. The body of Christ is not just religious coming here and have a meeting. It's the life we share together. So when you look at the spirit that's behind this virus, separating people, isolating people. There's no community mentality. We are a family. We are a community. So you can stop at my home. You can just text me, say I'm on my way. You're always welcome. My brother, I spoke with my brother he watches our service. Greetings, brother. I talked to him for about 2.5 hours yesterday. And one thing he told me, he said, man, you know, I said, hey, come on down. We have room here in Chesapeake. I'll have you. but he said, you know what? With his community mentality, he thought he could just stop over at somebody, maybe at the preacher's house. He went one time. And you know what they told him? He said, man, next time you should text us. Which is nice, which probably because you don't know what the person is doing. But you know how rude that is to say it? And to make the person feel like you're not welcome. If I'm outside, I'm working, and you showed up, guess what we're going to do? I'm washing my car, you showed up. Oh, man, so good, man. Come on now. Grab this bag. They dwell, Acts 2:42, they dwell in the word of the apostles. They fellowship on a daily basis. They eat together. They pray. Do not let the devil or the circumstances of life make you drift away from faith. Take you away from God. Take you away. Let me tell you this. In your church or in God's kingdom, find the person who you see that's after God. And if you have a heart that's after God, befriend them. Mm-hmm. The enemy wants you to think like an orphan, act like an orphan, take offense or offending other people. That's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to walk like a bird with broken wings. That's how he wants you to work, to walk. God sent Jesus Christ so you could be healed and behold and walk and function as a whole. Unbelief, the lack of trust, can be a very devastated thing also for your faith. Faith and trust in God cannot coexist with the attitude of self-reliance. Do not rely on your own understanding. I cried to God. I said, God, this is your church. Lord, you brought us here. You have this church and this community for a reason. Father, we pray for the lost souls in this community. Lord, I don't have a program. Lord, I pray, I thank God for my cell leaders. We meet once every week, man. We pray for you. We are not relying on ourselves. We can't do it. Don't do it by yourself. If you feel your faith is going down, ask God. Pray. Get yourself, find yourself with another believer. You know, most of us cannot or not anti-God, but we put our trust more in our own resources than God's love and care. Some of us, you trust your doctors more than you trust God. And really, a lot of time, the doctors, they don't get it. They don't get it. Thank God for the doctors. But you know what? If you and I are going to be honest, we're going to realize we trust our doctors more than we trust our God. Unbelief. We cannot understand why someone, I seriously cannot understand why, even why someone would try to do life without Jesus, without faith. That's why our world is the way it is. Disobedience, that's another one. Disobedience is an act of the will. Jesus said it in John, one of my favorite, right, chapter. John chapter 14, 15, 16. Keep reading it. Those who accept my commands, that's what Jesus says, and obey them are the ones who loves me. Period. Very simple. Très simple. Very simple. Très simple. If you love God, you obey God. You don't ever have to tell God you love him. Just do what he says, and then you know what? God's crazy. You know, you mess up with his mind because he's like, man, she loves me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got no doubt. You remember the story of Job? Satan didn't know how much Job loved God. Satan had no idea. As a matter of fact, Satan thought Job's devotion and loyalty to God was focused on the things God give Job. Because Satan was like, what? You're not sick. All your children are well. You're wealthy. Everything is going good. Of course, why not loving God? Of course. And then Satan's having a conversation with God. He's like, yeah, man, he loves you because yeah, everything is going well. Well, God says, what? Is that what you think? Well, then go and take everything away. And see what happened. See, God knew Job's heart, Job's commitment. What would God say about you today? What are you willing to give up for him, to follow him, to give a holy life, to live a life free of, your conscience is so clear of whatever it is. What are you willing to just kick out, turn off, throw away? You know it. Might be whatever the Holy Spirit is opening up your heart right now. Those who accept my words, my commandments, and obey them are the ones who love me. Jesus said, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Insensitivity to God's word. There's another one. When we don't exercise our faith, we become insens- sensitive and sensitive to God's and unable to experience the prompting of the Holy Spirit. See, the more you obey, the more you become, your hearing of the Holy Spirit is sharper. Mm-hmm. The more you obey, the sharper you get in listening to the God, to the Spirit, to the voice of the Lord. So let me ask you this morning. Are you born again? Are you a born again Christian? And I want everybody to close their eyes and just ask yourself. There is no condemnation. I invite the worship team to come up. Am I a born again Christian? And what are those things that I need to do? If I'm a born again Christian, what are some of the things that I need to be aware of or to stop doing or start doing? Maybe discipline. What are the things I'm neglecting? Because, you know, I'm setting the stage up for us to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, living a life that overflows by the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for your word today, Holy Spirit. I planted the seeds. I watered. And I trust you to make it grow. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.